Welcome to Stop Wanting Him Back and Find Someone Better, a podcast on healing your heart, authentically falling in love with you, and yes, finding someone better. I'm Claire, the Heartbreak Coach. Let's take your love life and entire life to the next level. Hi, loves. We're at episode 98, Why You Haven't Found Him Yet. Now, I recently did an episode, not recently, actually, a while back, I did an episode called Why It's So Hard to Find Him. So we'll link that episode up in the show notes. I will tell you, I have not listened to that episode as of late. I simply wanted to do this episode because yet again, I was inspired by an amazing client who pretty much said some things that I think we can all relate to when we're single and frustrated while we're also really committing to the work. And it just feels confusing and overwhelming and hard. And I recently offered in an episode that I might be talking about something similar, and it's not a brand spanking new topic, but I always feel like when I'm coming to you right here, right now, January 2021, what I'm offering you on the topic now, and even though they're technically two different topics, why you haven't found him yet, why is it so hard to find him? They're technically different, but I thought they're also sort of similar. But my take on it now is going to be that much more up-leveled and advanced and maybe a little bit more simple and clear to you as the listener, if you've been a loyal listener, because not only have I been studying the heartbroken woman's brain, including my own since, I don't know, 27 through, I'm about to turn 40 in a couple of weeks, but up until 38, when I met the love of my life, I went through so much struggle with multiple broken hearts and then being single and frustrated for such long periods of time. And I really have also studied so many heartbroken women's brains as well as single frustrated brains. So not just my own personal experience, but from studying and coaching so many women and combined with getting my own brain coached. I've been a coach for 5 years, but really for the last 2.5 years, I have been getting coached by who I believe are the best coaches out there for me. So what I offer you today might be that much more clear, that much more up-leveled, or maybe the other podcast resonates with you more. But I just wanted to share that. And that's why I continue to work with my coaches. I also continue to work with my coaches because not only to just stay sane, but because yes, I have the results that I'm assuming all of you guys want. If you're listening, you either want to heal your heart or you want to find the love of your life, or maybe both. I have those results, but I love coaching because I just always want to be in expansion. I always want to grow, and I create goals and I want to hit them. And I know that I always create them with my thinking. So the title again is called Why You Haven't Found Him Yet, right? So the result would be that you want to find your ideal person. I use the pronoun him because of my own experience as a straight woman who's moved through a lot of heartbreak and ultimately called in the man of her dreams. But this podcast and my course is for every single human out there with a broken heart and or a lonely heart who wants to heal and or call in the love of their lives. So I just gave away the first reason why you haven't found your person yet. You guessed it, your thoughts. Your thoughts create your results. So if you're thinking thoughts like, well, I'm 42 and he, she hasn't come yet. So, and using your past relationships that haven't worked out. Notice I didn't call them failures. I don't think relationships that don't work out are failures. I don't think staying with a narcissistic sociopath, knowing that he's cheating and lying to you, is a failure. That's just a thought and it doesn't serve. Just a side note. But when you're looking back on your past and you're thinking, well, none of the other ones have worked out and I'm already this age. And some people come to me, a lot of my clients are in their late 20s, early 30s. They're like, it's supposed to happen now, which I totally get. I grew up in a small town in Westchester County, just outside of New York City. And for sure, it was the trend that you get married at 26, 27, 28. So God forbid you're single at 30. But really, single at 30 is a neutral circumstance. But if you want to create the result of finding him, thinking thoughts like, well, yeah, I haven't met him yet, or using past relationships. Maybe you have a thing for attracting liars or cheaters or just unavailable people. And so then you're assuming it's going to continue to be that way. You're using past relationships that didn't work out and the age that you're at right now. And then you're also expecting, because of your past, for more unavailables or more of the pattern, as if it's something that happens outside of you. So another reason that you haven't found him yet is that you think he or she happens outside of him. You don't really recognize that you need to be the change in order to attract a more up-leveled human. So I've been coaching this amazing British woman who's living the life in New York City. Oh my gosh, I love her on so many levels. She's so cool. She's so hip. She's so stylish. I love her accent. Yep, I'm that ignorant American that just like dies over a Brit. I have a girl crush on her. I have a girl crush on all my clients. And she is in her late 30s, and she very much said to me in the beginning of our work together, you know, well, I've been around the block and it hasn't worked so far. So yeah, I'm really noticing that I'm expecting it to still not work, or for me to still not find him based on my past. And so what we're working on right now is uncovering all the ways that she was saying yes to these unavailable people. So we've unpacked that. Now she's out in the dating field. And she was away and came back. So she had kind of been off the active dating in person. And also, again, I'm aware that it's a pandemic right now. So there isn't so much active dating people in person, but she had kind of been on a break. She had been communicating with people, but she had two dates lined up and she was so excited to share them with me. But one of the men was not exactly. He actually just blatantly didn't respect a boundary. She said to him, you know, I've been away. I need to get tested. So hopefully all going well, I get the negative result. We will be able to meet up on Saturday. And he pushed her several times and started to tell her where she could get the test sooner to get her results sooner so that they could meet up sooner. Red flag, a man telling you what works for him after you've already told him what works for you before you've even met. Now, I know sometimes there's like little things that might bother you about a person before you meet and you want to be more open-minded, but to me, and again, it's just a thought, I think that that's a big red flag. Combined with, he asked her twice what part of New York City she lived in, which really showed us like he wasn't really paying attention. And I think that there are just some basics that we like learn right away about someone as soon as we match. We know their age. We usually figure out what they do for a living, which I'm not saying you need to know, but some people, career, ambition, money matters. And definitely the neighborhood you live. Like when I was living in LA, if someone lived in Manhattan Beach and I'm in Beverly Hills, like that's just not something that I would forget. And it would be something that I'd be factoring in because that's literally an hour away. So am I interested in this guy enough? At least an hour away with traffic. Am I interested enough in getting to know this guy who lives in a neighborhood that's like pretty far for me? Meanwhile, I matched with someone who lives in Santa Barbara and I'm in LA. That's an 80-mile distance between us. But I was intrigued enough that I was like, fuck yeah, I want to get in my car and rent a hotel room and have a romantic eve in Santa Barbara and see who this man is. So there were just some things. And I just said to her, I'm like, my hunch is you're totally painting green over red flags. So that's another reason why you haven't found him yet. And ultimately what we uncovered in our session was she had been away for like a month over the holidays. She was swiping, but she wasn't on any active dates or even Zoom dates. And so then she was back in New York and she really wanted to get back in the game. So her thought was, again, going back to why you haven't found him yet, you're thinking. But when we really unpacked her two prospects, the other guy sounds amazing. So stay tuned. But when we unpacked this prospect, really, it was that she wanted to just have some dates in the game. So she was overlooking that a man was literally telling her what to do. And he wasn't even really listening or paying attention to what part of the city that she was in. Now, again, some of you might think I'm being a little bit harsh about Claire. Come on. So he asked her twice, what part of the city? Is it that big of a deal? I just feel like that combined with him encouraging her to get her test done sooner so he could see her and then suggesting where she could do it. That to me is just like, no, dude, because even without the test, if she said, I just got back, I'm jet lagged, I want to try, you know, I want to get some rest and I'll be back to myself Saturday would work for me. Even like, there's just no reason to be pushing. And it's like not his business and not his place. And then he's like, oh, and where do you live again? It's like, dude, just scroll back up and pay attention to what your questions are. It was just, I didn't like it. And I was like, really, like, why are you still going on this date with him? And she was like, I think really it's because I'm just trying to get back into dating. So what I offered her is, and I offered this to her individually. So take this or leave this. This may not apply to you. And this is really the beauty of the one-on-one coaching is you get to be picky. I would rather you go on one date with one high quality guy than only confirm to me that this guy is such a boundary crosser, which we already knew before you even met him in person. So maybe some of you right now, you're not dating at all. You're not getting yourself out there at all. And you swipe with someone and maybe he crossed a boundary a little bit or he said something that you didn't really like. I would probably say to you, just get out and date and get into that comfort of rolling the dating ball. Really just, so you gotta, when you're listening to my podcast, because sometimes people email me or they slide into my DMs and like, you said this in this podcast, but this is my situation. And so how can that ring true? And I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And also, I love you guys. I love your enthusiasm, but I don't offer coaching in my DMs and I don't offer coaching on email. My one-on-one coaching is for my one-on-one clients. I am offering a bonus call to those who purchased my course before December 31st. That's coming up, which I'm really excited about. A bonus group coaching call. And I'm sure I'll be doing fun bonuses similar to that for those who buy my course in the future. But really, all the answers are in the course because what it always comes down to is it's your thoughts that create your results. It's your thinking that has led you to the result of not finding him yet. Another reason why I think you haven't found him yet is that you think him or her being here is the answer to your happiness. One thing that I have repeatedly shared over and over and over again, definitely will link up my podcast episode called Single, Happy, and Fulfilled, is if you are looking to find someone to fill that void in your life, to complete the picture, to button up that last piece in your whole life picture, then that is just a shitty reason to want to find someone. I have shared many times, I took 5 months off to just date me in 2019. I'm not saying it has to take you 5 months. I have a whole section in the course called Fall in Love with You, and it just teaches you on so many different levels to enjoy you, love on you, not need someone else to be here to complete you. I think the same about those who want to lose weight. I think the same about those who want to create six-figure businesses, multiple six-figure businesses. I was broke as a joke for many years, starving actor mentality, feast and famine mentality. And I am definitely here to say, as someone who now has really done a fuck ton of work on her relationship with money, that the scarcity mentality doesn't go away, even if you're producing a lot of income, because it's your thoughts that create your results. So my thoughts yielded me the result of creating a lot of money because I became the woman to produce a ton of value on heartbreak and finding love. But my brain really wants to always look at, oh my gosh, it might not be enough. I might run out, because I was so programmed to think that. So I have to continue to do the coaching on that. So don't believe, as Brooke Castillo says, and I share this all the time, that there's some there. Oh, when I get there, when I meet the one, when I get engaged, when I have babies, when I hit six figures, when I get that dream job, when I have my body looking like this, then I'll be happy. Abso-fucking-lutely not. Now, don't get me wrong. Love Larry, love of my life. He's here. I now have a thought. He makes my life better for sure. But I was completely fulfilled and happy before he came. And even when we connected before we met in person and I was like, ooh, and I felt my feelings getting, you know, all riled up. I was feeling all the feels and I had been committing my brain with my belief man plan, which I teach you how to create in the Find Someone Better section of my course. I found myself really being like, I hope he's my result because I'm super attracted and I'm so impressed on all the levels and he's so lovely and he's so dreamy. I was thinking all of these things. I would then coach myself in the moment, and especially right before we met, right before he picked me up at my hotel, which I think I shared recently, not a big fan of someone picking you up on a first date, but I had driven all the way up to Santa Barbara. I had done research that he wasn't a murderer, so I was okay with that. But I really coached myself. I'm not kidding you, because I felt anxious right before he picked me up. And I was like, what are you anxious about? And it was, I really want to like him and I really want him to like me. Like, I was ready. And I realized it was such a pressurizing, graspy thought that wasn't serving me. And it certainly wasn't going to serve him. So again, I was just constantly coaching myself, constantly getting coached. And so the thought that I then reached for, I shouldn't say reached for, shifted into was, great if we hit it off, but if we don't, it's okay because I'm committed to my result of finding my person. It could be Larry, it could not. So I had the automatic pull of, oh my God, it would be so great if it's him. Ah! And I recognized how pressurizing and graspy it was. And I self-coached and I was like, wait a second. I'm committing to the result of finding my person. It could be him. It could not be. I don't think it's a coincidence whether it was going to be Larry. I feel like that mentality and my commitment to coaching myself and my ability to get myself to that place is what brought him in. I don't think that that thought made him my person. I think that thought and my practice of thinking in that way is what brought me to him. And if it wasn't going to be Larry, it was going to be someone else very quickly after, because I was so committed to being the cool, calm, collected, grounded, certain, up-leveled boss babe woman who was going to call in her boss of a man. That's what I wanted. I had so much evidence that my thoughts create my results. Another reason why you haven't found him yet. You assume something must be wrong with you. I have been there, my loves. I haven't found him yet. There must be something wrong with me. And then you're continuing to swipe with that thought, and then you're still not finding him. What I want to offer is, maybe you've made mistakes in the past. Maybe you cheated on your person. Maybe you overreacted. Maybe you picked fights. Maybe you were too needy. Maybe you were looking for him to fulfill your void and make you happy. Like, maybe there were things that you did that were quote unquote wrong. I think wrong is a slippery slope of a word, but for lack of better words, you know what I mean. You know, I talked to you guys about my unavailable dudes that I dated and my narcissistic sociopathic ex. I was no spring chicken to any of those men. A couple of them I'm still friends with. God bless them. They weren't great and I wasn't great because, again, my thoughts attracted that person. My thoughts created the result of attracting unavailable guy after unavailable guy, and I had lots to learn. So when my clients come to me and they've been needy and insecure and attached and graspy and all of the things, it's not that we're not cleaning that up and doing that work and healing ourselves, right? Because everything that you were looking for and behaving and doing with the guy where it didn't work, or the girl, right, is really about your relationship with yourself. So I'm not saying that mistakes may not have been made or that there were things you would now looking back, you would do differently. But I would also encourage you to not be beating yourself up and forgive yourself and have compassion and do the healing work so that you can show up differently, because we'll all be triggered. I don't do this work so that we never have triggers. I do this work for you to move through those triggers and to become vulnerable enough and own your vulnerability and own your story so you can show up with your right guy or girl and say, hey, this is me. This is something that I've been working on. I'm not perfect at it. And so it may not be pretty at times, but this isn't about you. And so I would appreciate your help and your support. I'm not giving myself an excuse. So there are ways to navigate through it. It's not, oh, Claire just did all this work and dated herself for 5 months, and then she created a belief man plan, and then she called him in, and then they went sailing off into the sunset. It wasn't that easy. I share all the time. I was super triggered. And I did think at one point that there might be something wrong with me when I really started to fall for Larry, because it was the first time in 9 years that I'd said, I love you to someone. And so I was panicked. Romantic love to me, my brain was just like, alert, alert, alert. It was very unsafe for me because of the trauma I had experienced and also my own shit that kept me attracting Mr. Unavailable after Mr. Unavailable. So when you're thinking that there must be something wrong with you, after you've done all the work on things that now looking back, you would probably do differently. And maybe because this is why I was inspired to do this episode, was because a client was really starting to wonder if there was. And I said, really, you do so much work on yourself on all the levels. You work so hard in your life on all the levels. The only thing that's wrong with you is that you think there's something wrong with you. Do you think you would be an amazing partner to someone? Do you think that you have so much to offer someone? And she got emotional and she said, yes, I really do. I really do. But, you know, there's something that has happened in her life that she's scared that someone may not accept. And she was like, I wouldn't blame him if he wouldn't accept that. And I'm like, yeah, there's lots of things that I wouldn't accept. If a guy was 5'5", I'm sorry, I'm 5'8". That would just be a deal breaker for me, that some people would say, Claire, you're shallow, you're superficial. Okay, it's still like, I will never want to date someone who's 5'5", right? Guy broke up with me. I know a big reason was because I wasn't his religion. I also know that people didn't want to date me because I was a life coach. There was a long period of time where I refused to date actors because multiple actors I had dated had broken my heart. And so I decided it was because they were actors. No, it wasn't. But there was a time where I was saying, yeah, no, that doesn't work for me. And I think, you know, I've admitted that at this stage in my life, after having so much money struggle, when I embarked on my belief man plan and calling him in, money really wasn't going to matter to me anymore. But if he had all these like insecurities about money and hated that I was making more money than him and all of that bullshit, No, I want someone who's healed in his money story, because I've come so far in healing mine, and I don't, it's like too sensitive of a topic for me. I'm just throwing these out there for you guys. Like, I'll totally understand if someone isn't into dating a heartbreak coach who talks about so much of her personal life out loud to anyone who's interested in listening. That will not work for everybody. I'm so glad Larry loves it and supports it, and he loves that he's my muse. But if I was thinking, oh no, he's not going to like this about me, right? Or there's something wrong with me, or there's this issue that I have that I'm working through, and I totally understand if that's a deal breaker for him. And so what I offer to her is, it might be a deal breaker to him, but for your person, your thoughts creating your result of your person, he's not going to think it's a deal breaker. And that's what we keep forgetting. You keep using, going back to that first example of, or first reason why I think you haven't found him yet, is that you're using your past, and you're using past people who didn't accept certain parts of you, and assuming that when you get out there to date again, that other people are going to think that's wrong about you. You will keep attracting those people until you heal what you think about all parts of you, who you were before, who you are now, what's going on with you now, and whatever happens in the future, you get to decide. There are some people where parts of you are going to be a deal breaker. Are you going to make that mean that there's something wrong with you? Are you going to make it mean that there were other people in your past who thought that parts of you and who you were and what you did for a living or whatever it is, or your religion or your height or your size, or whatever your apartment looks like. Someone recently said, maybe he like judged my place. I don't know, right? Whatever it is. Another client of mine was just like, sorry, he drove a particular car. She was like, I couldn't get past it. We have weird things that are deal breakers, right? But your person is gonna embrace all of you. But your work, right? When you're confused, why I haven't found him yet, You have to embrace all of you. You have to move through the thought, there must be something wrong with me. Being single at whatever age you are and having had however many breakups in your life, right? Those are neutral circumstances. It is a choice to indulge the thought that there must be something wrong with you. And then when you're thinking there's something wrong with you and then you're showing up in your dating life, you're going to keep attracting people who are going to be saying that there's this thing that's wrong with you, or, hey, this just doesn't work. Another reason, this is the last reason. There are going to be so many reasons, but I don't want to give you guys too much and have you be like, oh my God. So you can write these down and chew on this. And maybe this will inspire your own personal reasons as to why you haven't found him or her yet, is that you really haven't done the proper healing work and gotten clarity on your past relationships. If you ask me what happened and what unfolded and what my growth lesson was about any guy I dated between the ages of like 25 through 38, I know exactly what my healing and my growth lesson was with all of them. And some I'm like, he's a fucking dick. And others I'm like, he's sweet. It was a no. Or I really liked him and he wasn't even a douchebag, but he wasn't into me. And here's what I learned from him. And here's the growth work from that. It's like, even my narcissistic sociopathic ex, he was such a horrific human. I still think he is. There was the most amount of healing and growth work that I had to do there. So if you're not really and truly, and this doesn't mean that you can't have traumatic thoughts later, but just that you really have a deep understanding as to how you got into that mess in the first place, how you got that hurt in the first place, how you got that broken, why you stayed, what that looked like, what your relationship was with yourself then. I have a lot of clients who come to me that they've said, I've done all these different healing modalities. They don't work. Claire, you're my final straw. Okay, let's do this. Let's bite the bullet. Let's make this 6-month commitment. And they're still saying, yeah, but you know, I'm just scared to get myself out there because I'm just thinking about when John did this to me. And it's like, wait a second, we just spent like a whole month unpacking that. And so you're anticipating that it's going to be the same with the next guy because you're forgetting the work we just did. So maybe you have done healing work, but now as you're out and you're dating, you're forgetting that you've done it. And you're forgetting that you're a different woman now showing up in her dating life. That you now are equipped with tools to recognize that your thinking creates your results. And this isn't an opportunity for you to go on 5 dates and thinking that you're doing all this great thought work, and then those 5 dates don't work out, whether it's with the same person or 5 different people. That I'm thinking wrong and I'm doing it wrong and I hate this and it's too hard and I hear what she's saying and I tried it and it didn't work. Trust me, I've been there, not just in my dating life, in so many different areas of my life when I was first starting to learn this work. It's a process. It's a practice. Little spoiler alert. I do a little video on the 3 core values that are super important to hold on to throughout the entire journey of the course. And it's your belief and your commitment and your patience. You have to believe in this work and you have to commit to it every single day. And when you think it's not working because you didn't find him or her right away, you have to practice patience. And with that patience, I give you a whole process on how to unpack all of the dates. Where's the growth? Where's the up level? What would I do differently next time? How did I show up? What am I doing differently that's working? What am I doing that's not working? Over and over and over and over and over again, while you're also committing to that big result of finding your person. So I hope that some of these tidbits as to why you haven't found him or her yet have helped. Again, I highly encourage you to take this work to the next level. We are almost through the end of January. Actually, by the time this episode drops, I think we'll be at the end of January. So if you're recognizing that, oh, the month just flew by, I said I was going to set an intention to show up differently in my love life, what's going to make you show up differently for February that isn't just because it's Valentine's Day? You don't need coaching. I loved when my coach Stacy offered that a while back, but why wouldn't you want it? Coaching for me just not only helps me create my results faster, it also offers me the ability to see how I can just up-level how I show up in my day, all day, every day, including those negative emotional moments, including those anxiety-ridden moments, including those drama-inducing moments, those self-inflicting dramatic moments, especially as I'm really committing to a big result in my business, combined with my personal life. As I've recently shared, my partner has 4 children, and that's an interesting journey of transitioning to get to know them and also respect the healthy pace and assume this role that is completely foreign to me, that I have lots of automatic anxious thoughts about, totally getting in their pool of what they think of me and how I would feel, you know, if I was them and all of the things, right? So coaching allows me to get centered and to be present and to remember the bigger picture and to never forget my commitment and my belief and my patience with the work, because the results that we want to create aren't supposed to be overnight. Sometimes they happen overnight. Sometimes they don't. Sometimes we see some movement and it's like, yes, I see it. I see that he or she is coming closer. I see how I'm attracting higher level people. And then all of a sudden, you're into this higher level person. And as I mentioned just in that recent episode, 3 dates is nothing. You get super excited and then crashing down because it turns out they ghosted or decided that they weren't that interested. So are you going to then make it mean that this work doesn't work, or are you going to stay in your belief that your thoughts create your results and look for how you loved how you showed up, or maybe how you didn't love how you showed up, and what you can learn from each of these experiences and really recognize that it's your thoughts that always create your results with anything that you want to call into your life. Love you all so much. Until next time, bye. My loves, there are now 2 ways you can gain access to these transformational tools for not just your love life, but your entire life. Head on over to ClaireTheHeartbreakCoach.com, click on the Work With Me tab, and apply for my 6-month one-on-one coaching program, or sign up for my lifetime access course, Stop Wanting Him Back and Find Someone Better. I can't wait to hear about your fairy tale ending too.